Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Here's an ultimate what-if suggestion. What if Elvis Presley didn't pass away 39 years ago this month? AXS-TV will turn one likely answer into its first original movie, Elvis Lives. Executive producer David Rinaldi and writer Delandra Williams join me next. Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Bluegrass. That's what our second half guest describes long-running attraction Reno's old-time music, available every weekend on RFD-TV. The pursuer himself, Ronnie Reno, will be here. Also ahead, week two of the TCA Summer Tour begins on a USA note, and our classic trivia question of the week. Hey, everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you today by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the hour. Happy to have you with us as we continue the first week of year 10 of the program All About Television. 80 degrees top of the hour here in New York. Another gorgeous day. We had a heat wave a week ago. Now it's a cool down time right now. And we are delighted to have you with us. We've got some wonderful guests coming your way in the 60 minutes ahead. And if you have a question or comment for any of them, you know what to do. Pick up the phone. Use this number. 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio. We got a chat room operating as well at SimonApple04 by name. You will find it on our homepage, www.blogtalkradio.com/televise, and we're waiting for you to use the room and get your thoughts in. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen. Follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. The people from Elvis Lives, coming August 16th on AXS-TV, Mark Cuban's network, will join us from Los Angeles after these news notes. We're in week two of the semi-annual Television Critics Tour, summer version in Los Angeles. The latest news from there involves USA Network. October will serve as the launch month for two new drama hours, Falling Water and Eyewitness. Suits, off to a good six-season start, will go forward with season 7 in 2017. However, there's no word yet on the renewal of telenovela adaptation Queen of the South or a recent premiere of Shooter, originally set to go last month, but delayed by the aftermath of police shootings in Dallas and Baton Rouge. Some quickies before our opening guest. Dish Network has had its blackout recouple with NFL Network. Dish is expected to bring back the channel and its NFL Red Zone offering to its customers by this weekend. Hulu now counts Time Warner as a co-owner. The overseer of HBO, CNN, and TBS TNT has taken a 10% stake in Hulu and will affiliate most of its channels to a new multi-net alternative service Hulu expects to debut next year. And Tom Jackson will close a highly acclaimed career as ESPN studio football analyst this weekend. The former Denver Broncos defensive star spent 29 years alongside Chris Berman as the memorable co-host of NFL Game Day, NFL Countdown, both Sunday and Monday Night Editions, and NFL Primetime. He will wrap his career with ESPN at the Pro Football Hall of Fame event in Canton, Ohio. And all the very best to him. Now to the Sports Emmy Award people, make sure you give him a Lifetime Achievement Award next year. And that's news notes for today. Well, believe it or not, there is a new player in the world of made-for-TV movies. It is Mark Cuban's network, formerly known as HGNet, now AFX-TV, known for its potpourri of musical, comedy, and other performances. And the film is called Elvis Lives. It offers this take about Elvis, someone who's been involved with television ever since it started. Memorable appearances on The Ed Sullivan Show, the Elvis Comeback Special we talked about back in 1968 with producer-director Steve Binder on this program just 48 hours ago, and such movies as Elvis, the Dick Clark production, starring Kurt Russell in the title role. In this particular situation, the premise is, what if Elvis didn't die 39 years ago this month? The movie premieres on AXS Tuesday, August 16th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. Joining us live from Los Angeles, the narrator exclusive, one of the executive producers of the film, David Rinaldi, and the writer, Delandra Williams. David and Delandra, welcome in.
Thank you for having us.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to have you both with us. And David, we'll start with you. How did this new take on Elvis happen?
I might not be a big shock, but I have to take it back to the Sharknado series. For those who do not know, it's about It's a series of movies that appear on Sci-Fi where sharks actually enter a tornado. And in the third installment, the President of the United States was played by Mark Cuban. Through that relationship, we talked about what ways we could work together. And he said, look, what about a fresh original movie for access? And the conversation went to, what about conspiracy theories about, musicians? And we landed on probably the most famous of all, Elvis, and it went from there.
And Alondra, you're the writer of this. How did you get involved?
Well, I mean, I knew that those discussions were going on, so I was involved in figuring out, what would be some good musicians, and we pitched around a lot of ideas, and then, so I was just part of those conversations, and then it seemed natural to just have me continue on and write it. When they said it was Elvis, I got excited because in doing the research behind sort of all these conspiracy theories, I just knew there were so many interesting ones about him that it'd be fun, to take one of them on.
David, you mentioned Sharknado, the asylum and the production company behind those series of movies. The latest one was on, in fact, just late last month and did very well. And, by the way, it's being replayed on Sci-Fi, I believe, this Saturday afternoon. I believe it's 5 p.m. Eastern Time. You also do Z Nation, that company, the asylum does Z Nation, which is going to year 3 on Sci-Fi this fall. This is a very unique turn for a company that basically does sci-fi horror films to turn around and do a musical biography. Actually, not just a musical bio, but sort of a what-if bio.
It is indeed. If you think of it in terms of what we're known for, which are giant apocalyptic events or, giant creatures, then absolutely. But what's always been at the core and the heart of the company is our love for making movies on one hand of all kinds and the fact that almost every single one has come out of a creative conversation with a network, a distributor, a platform of some kind. And so from that point of view, it makes all the sense in the world. I mean, it's not so well known that we make everything from like American Pie sexy comedies all the way over to family Christmas movies with talking dogs. So, we're fans of movies of all kinds, and we love the opportunity to do something new. So we're very excited to jump into something that's, somewhere between a drama and, with elements of a thriller and, some charm and maybe even a little romance.
Mm-hmm. It sounds, Delandra, like this is Elvis Undercover as much as Elvis Lives. How did you come up with the exact plot of this?
It's interesting because you would think, well, this is really ridiculous that Elvis would be working with the FBI and busting mafiosos. It sounds like we just sort of pulled it, out of thin air, but that's true. I mean, they released documents saying that it is true that he did do a sting operation with the FBI and did help to bring down this mafia group that they talk about here. And so it really, it's funny, it's truth is sort of stranger than fiction. And so it was really easy to sort of take these things that were true and to then spin them off a few steps further and say, okay, well, what if some of the conspiracy theories floating around this true event are also true? And that maybe he did then, fake his death to get away from these people who were threatening his life. And what would that have looked like?
We are speaking with the people behind Elvis Lives. It's the first original made-for-TV movie for the Mark Cuban Network, AXS-TV, which focuses a lot of its time on musical performances, even things like The X Factor overseas, Simon Cowell's creation that came on Fox for U.S. Bell for a couple of years. We're speaking with executive producer David Wanawi and the writer of the film, Delonzo Williams. They both joined us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Delonzo, you're with us this Wednesday afternoon, special edition of our show, as we're continuing the first week of our 10th year of the program All About Television. If you have a question or comment for our guest, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. One of the more unique attractions on smart TV sets and smart TV devices is StreamNow TV. And very soon it could get more interesting because it could give you the opportunity to buy merchandise while you're watching a show. The project is called TV Runway, and we'll have both the head of StreamNow TV, Ralph Valderrama, and the co-founder of TV Runway, Tarina Bell. They'll both be with us live that Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And we'll have three more episodes of the show coming your way next week, including an episode that we will do on location in Midtown Manhattan 1 week from today. My guest then will be one of the top producers of unscripted television, Mark Cronin. He's got a new production company, and one of the shows he's doing, the popular Bravo series Below Deck and its spinoff, Below Deck Mediterranean. Mark Cronin live from Midtown Manhattan on location. We'll have him face-to-face. That's next Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Delonzo, before you put pen to paper on this movie, did you look back at other films or TV movies about, like, the Elvis Presley, one Dick Clark did with Kurt Russell way back when, or Honeymoon in Vegas, or other treatments both on film and television dramatizing Elvis?
I didn't. I mean, I had seen some things and had seen some of the Elvis movies. I think, like a lot of people, you know, I just had sort of that sort of level of familiarity with Elvis himself. But I read a lot of biographies and also books that were written by the people who were living with him at the end of his life. And that's really where I drew a lot of the characterizations from, because I didn't want to just do the sort of like, you know, Kung Fu Elvis, the sort of like the cartoon character. So I really wanted it to be who was he at the end of his life. And it's a really fascinating portrait of this guy who he had everything, and he, you know, he felt as if he had somehow failed by the time that you know, he was at this point that we're dramatizing.
Mm-hmm. In the end, David, how did Jonathan Nation become Elvis? What kind of Elvis are you looking for, and how did Jonathan fit the role?
Okay. Well, first of all, let me say it is so overwhelming to be responsible for casting such an iconic character. And I, on one hand, I wish that we could have, you know, spent 3 years finding the absolute perfect actor for the role. But we have a typical process where we'll do a lot of reads. And the top ones will then be selected by the director, and then we'll all jump aboard sort of the last round. But there was just no one who was leaping out for all of us and saying, this is Elvis. And so what we often do is we look back at some of the actors we worked with in the past, and there was something, and I hope Jonathan doesn't mind, but sort of doughy about him in the roles he's done in the past for us, and something that would take the Elvis we know, I felt, and move him into an elder Elvis, one who we have never had the opportunity of seeing alive, and we approached him, and he was fully on board, and turns out had an amazing Elvis voice or accent that he could end up doing. So,
how much research did you have him do about Elvis's late life?
Well, I don't think we had him do any. On one side, you know, to be quite honest, I have a feeling, I could be wrong on the numbers, that he probably was officially hired within a week from shooting. And so there were a lot of very practical, you know, wardrobe sizing and so on issues. And I wish we had him on here. But he himself is a big fan of Elvis and was very familiar with the music. And so, I mean, that just came with it. But there really wasn't time to have him study a lot of the old movies and a lot of the old documentaries. But I know that he knew a lot about him just because he himself was a fan.
DeLondra, in writing the script, did you leave time for musical numbers? Do we get a chance to see Elvis in performance as well as see Elvis being undercover trying to help the FBI?
Yeah, we opened it with a concert, and we sort of very inspired by some of the old concert footage that people put up on YouTube, you know, which is amazing. You get to see how he was at the end of his performance career. And what was crazy to me is that he was just so charismatic still, even sort of with the extra weight and sort of the sweating and forgetting, you know, sometimes forgetting his lyrics. He would just look at the audience, and you, even through all these decades later, you still melt, you know, in seeing him. So we definitely see that charisma that we tried to sort of write into the script and tried to sort of get that feel. But also it was important to the story because how Elvis felt about performing had a lot to do with his sort of depression. He felt like he was losing his voice. He felt like God was punishing him for not having lived up to his potential. He had all these sort of fears that were wrapped around performance. And as I said before, it's all sort of drawn from reality and how he felt about himself that sort of inspires why he gets into these sort of shenanigans with the FBI.
Mm-hmm. One of them gets 997 into our chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. If you have a question or comment for our guest, put it in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. David, how long did it take to film this movie? And at any point, was there any concern that the Prosy estate was going to raise its voice and say, sorry, folks, you can't do this. This is not a great way to showcase Elvis.
Right. Well, I might be off a day or two, but I believe this was shot over or had a 12-day shoot. It might have been as many as 14, but in any case, they were shooting, as we typically do, 8 to 10 script pages a day, whereas a normal feature would do 2. So definitely a condensed shoot. And yeah, there were a lot of conversations about what do we do, concerns about, trademark and the estate. That being said, I'll just say a couple things. First of all, it's not over yet. You never know when someone will get their feathers ruffled, and we certainly hope that's not the case. But I will say, very coincidentally, we were on the phone with the people from his estate talking about another project. And we told them about this film, and it seemed, although I'm sure they would love to be very closely involved, that it wasn't going to be a big concern, and we stayed away from the areas that we needed to.
DeLondra, is there anyone else from Elvis's real life that has a character in the film? I noticed that there's no Priscilla Presley or Colonel Tom Parker or some of the other notables around him in his entourage. But I understand that there is a Vernon Presley who's played by Doug Birch from Providence, Spain.
We do. There is a Priscilla. We have Priscilla. We've got we have Tom Parker. We have and his girlfriend who was living with him at the time, Ginger, and we have sort of a representation of the Memphis Mafia, as they were called, you know, his guys that sort of hung out there and lived with him, his entourage. There were tons of people who were at the mansion and who I would have loved to get into. He had more family relationships. Yes? Was there?
Yeah.
Oh. There were more family relationships and more people we would have loved to bring in, but, you know, we wanted to keep it pretty tight.
Delanda, by the way, is this your first time writing a made-for-TV movie? Have you done it before?
No, I've done a lot. Actually, I've done a lot with The Asylum. I think I was looking at IMDb. I think it's maybe my 10th or my 11th made-for-TV movie within a pretty short number of years. It's great working with The Asylum because you get to do so many different things. I've done zombie movies. I've done Lifetime movies. This is our first biopic.
We're speaking with David Rinaldi and Delanda Williams. They are the executive producer and writer, respectively, of Elvis Lives. It's the first original made-for-TV movie by AXXTV. That's Mark Stevens Network, the network formerly that originally started as HTNet. And the program is on August 16th. That's a Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern. That is 6 p.m. Pacific. So it's not 9 Eastern Pacific. It's 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Our guests are joining us live this half hour from Los Angeles, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Applegate, I'm here with you live from New York. Delighted you're joining us on this Wednesday afternoon. And coming up on our next half hour, we're going to go live outside Nashville and speak with someone they call the Dick Clark of Bluegrass. His name is Ronnie Reno, and for the last 23 years, he has been hosting the only musical variety show on television dealing with the wonderful art form known as bluegrass. It's called Reno's Old Time Music. It's on Saturday nights at 7 o'clock. Eastern Time on RFD TV, and we'll also talk about some news that RFD is going to make later tonight to its customers. That's Ronnie Reno of Reno's Old Time Music, and he's with us our next half hour right here on Tamabi Televised, so stay tuned for that. David, any thoughts about diving deeper into the genre of musical biopic? Do you see maybe doing something on other, you know, on other country music stars, or doing something on pop music like Elvis, pop icons? You know, Dick Clark, of course, followed Elvis with a wonderful underrated movie called Birth of the Beatles for ABC.
Yes. So I have to say that we'd love to. And we've been talking to a variety of other networks and platforms and internally about, you know, other opportunities in the pop world, stories, you know, living and past. But nothing currently planned as of late. We did do something that's tangentially related when we were approached by Nick Carter of the Backstreet Boys to help him make a movie that he'd been trying to do all along, which was a zombie Western. And that we did with Sci-Fi, and we're talking about doing something else with some female music stars upcoming. But there's nothing to announce now, although we're talking about some opportunities in terms of biopics, conspiracy or otherwise.
Yeah. Delanda, did AXS give you any parameters about how they wanted to see the story go? Or they pretty much let you be on your own along with David and the rest of your crew and cast and just make the movie you want to make?
Pretty much they gave us a lot of freedom. It was, you know, it was nice. And it was nice to be able to sort of just go along with what we thought was interesting and sort of the more poignant and interesting aspects of Elvis's life. And to also sort of have fun with, well, what would he be doing? You know, if he could be doing anything after, you know, escaping from being the king, then what would he be doing? And it was fun to be able to run with it.
Yeah, I have to say that for us, it's very unique a situation here because when we're working with other networks, the notes can be so detailed based on research they get of quarter hours and when commercials come up and very specific story notes. Whereas we all had a blank face and didn't quite know what to do. When the executives at AXS said, look, you know, Mark has a process that he believes it comes out organically from the, you know, creators, and we have no notes, basically. And we just sat there looking at each other going, okay, now what do we do but just sort of follow what, you know, the path Delanda created.
David, your company, The Asylum, has a great relationship with Sci-Fi. I mentioned the Sharknado, the latest Sharknado film came out a week ago and coming back this coming Saturday afternoon. You've got Z Nation, the third season of what some call the Route 66 of zombie shows. What else is in the pipeline, whether series or movies or specials at your company? What's coming up?
Well, you know, we have a lot of things in the hopper and a lot of that Delandra knows about because she definitely is a big part of our development process of the upcoming shows we have. But, and while there's a lot that we're talking about, there are some certain projects that, you know, that we know for sure. For instance, we're far along on a movie that that we hope to become a series, talking with YouTube Red, a completely new platform and, you know, service, sort of a whole new way of making movies in terms of using YouTube talent to populate sort of a traditional story structure. So that's called Drone Wars and should be out next year. Delandra had mentioned that she had done some movies for Lifetime, and this is not something we're as known for, but we've probably produced between 10 and 15 movies, which are basically female thrillers, and are continuing to do many more of those over the next year. So Women in Peril. So for sure those are coming up. And then, of course, there's no end to our apocalyptic giant robot and disaster movies that that work so well for the worldwide audience.
I believe that there's a lava one coming up, Too Lava, Too Luscious, coming up, I believe, this weekend on Sci-Fi. So,
It's not ours. Lavalantula belongs to, one of our competitors, friendly competitors, and we actually did a cross promotion. Steve Guttenberg stars in that series, and Ian had a brief appearance in one of those movies, and Steve Guttenberg was in Sharknado 4, Sharknado the Fourth Awakens. So although it's not our movie, we definitely work closely together.
Yeah, nice to see friendly competition among spectacular apocalyptic film and TV series producers. The film is Elvis Lives. It's the first original movie on AXX TV, and it happens Tuesday, August 16th, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific time. Check it out, Liz, but where AXX is available in your area on cable and satellite. And for more details about the program and the network online, here's where you go, www.axs.tv. That's www.axs.tv. David Rinaldi, Delandra Williams, thank you both for being with us. All the very best with this project. Hopefully many more in the hopper, not just on the music biopics, but everything else going on with your time. It's great to have you both around.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
You are welcome. All the greatest. Take care.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. David Rinaldi, executive producer, Delandra Williams, writer, both joining us live from New York. We don't have our classic trivia question of the week, and Ronnie Reno joins us live outside Nashville after this message from the fine people at Audible.com. A lot of fans for the Hallmark Channel, I'm sure, remember Cedar Cove. It was their first original scripted drama starring Andy McDowell, and it featured the wonderful work of author Debbie McComber, who was on this program when Cedar Cove was on the air for three wonderful Hallmark seasons. Well, now she's got a new tale in her best-selling series of books, Rose Harbor. It's called Sweet Tomorrows, and if you are a Debbie McComber fan, this audiobook now is for you, and it's now available when you get a free trial subscription at Audible.com. Why Audible.com? Very simple. They are the leading provider of spoken and digital audio entertainment and information with over 180,000 titles to choose from. Plus, you can listen to them on any device, including wherever you are hearing this on right now, through Blog Talk Radio. Remember, if you sign up at this URL, audibletrial.com/televised, that's audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook and a one-month trial of their service. So you can check Sweet Tomorrows, other Debbie McComber works, Charlie Rose interviews on Bloomberg Television and PBS, and a whole lot more. Great variety, all sorts of categories, all available for you simultaneously at Audible.com. And, of course, the great customer service given at Audible is a division of Amazon.com. So check out this URL, audibletrial.com/televised, audibletrial.com/televised, and make your sound fly with Audible.com. When we come back, we're going live to Hendersonville, Tennessee, outside of Nashville, and we'll speak with the Dick Clark of Bluegrass himself, Ronnie Reno, plus our classic trivia question of the week, and much more. But first, we're pausing at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet. It's www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month, and growing. It's your home for the Kyle Kulinski Show, Progressive Talk, Monday through Friday. It's right at the top of the hour, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and it's all for you today on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best BTR available 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back for the second half of Tomorrow Televised Special Wednesday Edition as we continue celebrating the start of Year 10 of the program All About Television. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Delighted to have you aboard. If you have a question or comment for our guest upcoming, give us the ring, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04, my name gets 997 still in the room. Remember, coming up, our classic trivia question of the week, and hopefully some more as well. I mentioned that our show is somewhat musical in nature. Part of it is because on Monday's show, we had a look at the world of variety television, thanks to the authors of the wonderful book, Theta, Mary Beth Lightman, and the award-winning producer-director, Steve Binder. One part of variety that we didn't get into on Monday's show was the wonderful world of country variety television. It's been around since the start of the tube in the 50s, with shows like Ozark Jubilee, Grand Ole Opry Live. Remember all those syndicated shows on local stations in the 60s, 70s, and 80s with the likes of Porter Wagoner, Jim Ed Brown, Dolly Parton? Dolly had her famous theme, I Will Always Love You, introduced through her syndicated show, which was on Channel 5 at one point in like 1975 on 10:30 on Saturday nights at the 10 o'clock news here in the New York area. And Pop Goes the Country, hosted by the late and wonderful host Ralph Emery, who later became the host of Nashville Now on the still-lamented Nashville Network. Well, 27 years ago, another country show came on the air devoted to an area that very rarely gets covered anywhere on television, bluegrass. I had a chance to be exposed with it with the wonderful artist David Bromberg. We did a concert at American University back in the 1970s. Ricky Skaggs, of course, wonderful pop music and bluegrass star, came from that idiom. Well, 23 years ago, a wonderful show came on a network called Americana Television. At that time, it was called Reno's Old Time Music Festival. Now, 23 years later, it is Reno's Old Time Music, and you can catch it Saturday nights at 7 o'clock Eastern Time on RFD-TV, which reaches more than 40 million people around the country through cable and satellite. Joining us live from Hendersonville, Tennessee, outside Nashville, the person they call the Dick Clark of Bluegrass, producer, host, performer, Ronnie Reno. Hi, Ronnie.
Hey, Simon. How are you doing this afternoon?
Very, very fine, thank you, and yourself as well. Can you believe it's been 23 years since you started showcasing bluegrass to a national audience?
No, I cannot. It has flown by. But you know, what is funny is I heard you mention the Ozark Jubilee, and believe it or not, I actually did that as a child back in 1958, and that was quite an experience to go to Springfield, Missouri, and do the Ozark Jubilee. So, boy, you're bringing back a bunch of memories today, Simon.
Oh, thank you, Ronnie. I had a chance to see an episode or two on YouTube, and it was really fascinating to see in glorious black and white how that show went. It had wonderful country performers, some pop music performers, also had square dancing, a lot of good stuff. It was a very well-done show for its day.
Oh, it was wonderful. It really was with Red Foley, for sure. But, hey, I really appreciate you having me on today. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome, Ronnie. What's it like doing a show week after week devoted to bluegrass and that you're the only person on earth, at least in television, doing it?
Well, you know what? It is actually, I am so fortunate. We have such great, great talent. What a wonderful well we have to draw from, Simon, in the acoustic and the bluegrass feel. They're all just wonderful, wonderful musicians, singers, songwriters, and I'm actually very proud to be able to showcase some of the great artists that we have.
What makes bluegrass go? What is the appeal of bluegrass to an audience, not just in your neck of the woods, the South, the Southeast, but really to a national audience?
Well, I think the acoustic side of being pure, you know, bluegrass is such a pure music, and of course it is an American-made music. It's one of the only art forms that was born really right here in America, and that being because of Bill Monroe and his high tenor voice and his mandolin, and also the five-string banjo roll. That was the first time that was introduced, was in Bill Monroe's band.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I want to welcome guests 1023 and 1024 who are just in our chat room. So if you have a question or comment, put it in the room. Simon Apple 04 by name. You can find our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. When you started this program 23 so years ago, was it very difficult to get the big names of bluegrass or either people who wanted to give it a try to come on the program?
No, really, I was very fortunate because I had been in it so long, and I of course, am a historian when it comes to the music, and I really know quite a bit about it. So all the artists, your Doyle Lawsons and your Del McCurry's and Lewis families and John Hartford and all those folks were very comfortable with me showcasing them and the music that I was doing. So fortunately for me, and knock on wood, I didn't have any trouble getting Ralph Stanley and Charlie Waller, those kind of bands, which was Jimmy Martin. I mean, I was able to draw from that well, and they all knew me. So they all trusted me and the fact that I would make them look good, which they made was making me look good. So it was, a treat to be able to bring them to a higher, I'd say, to more people. When we first started in 93, I think we had an audience of a little over 15 million homes. Well, at that time, 15 million homes was a lot. When we first started, of course, now we've grown we're getting close to 50 million homes coming up. So at that time, though, it was really getting out there. And so I was able to reach a lot of people that you weren't able to reach by radio. So the television was a wonderful tool to get out the acts and their music.
I believe, Ryan, the first network that carried your show was Americana Television Network. And I believe it was during the run on that channel that you won the Cable Ace Award, which, for those who don't know, was originally the cable's version of the Emmy Awards back in the 1980s and early 90s. And then it was in the mid-90s that the Emmy Award people decided, well, we're going to finally accept cable programming in the fold. And then the Ace folded and everybody was incorporated into the Emmys. What was it like to be one of the few music programs to win that award?
Well, actually, I was nominated, Simon. I didn't win it. There was another one that won it that year. But for me to be able to – I actually went to Hollywood during the show, and I think Birdland actually won it that year. But I was sitting there with the HBO folks and with all the – you know, the here's this little country boy with a hat on sitting out there in the middle of all this stuff, and of course, just it was an honor, and I did win by just being nominated. I think there was five shows nominated, and so we were totally blown away with the fact that they recognized that. I guess it's sort of like the Grammys that recognizes. I felt like that's what I was doing. I felt like I was, at the Grammys, with the Cable Ace nomination, and what a wonderful, prestigious thing to happen to us right off the bat that happened to us. So I couldn't have been more honored. I really couldn't have, Simon.
How has the show evolved in terms of its journey from Americana to RFD? Did it go bounce from network to network to network until RFD took it, or after Americana folded, did it go right to RFD? Did they express interest and pick it up?
Well, actually, Americana folded, and it was down. It was black for quite a few years, and then we started coming back, and we launched it again on another network called Blue Highways TV. And then from there, RFD had just started their network down in Dallas. They were at that point down in Dallas. So I've actually been with the RFD, believe it or not, since I think 2008. Is when I went with him before that. 2004, I've been with RFD. So, Yeah, it. I think we, you know, they were unashamed to play all types of music, and polka music. They play polka all the time. They play bluegrass. They play traditional country. They play traditional gospel. And to be associated with a television network that has got that kind of distribution is really quite unheard of. And so we're actually thrilled to have them on our side, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. And we have a little bit of news to talk about that the RFD is going to make tonight, so we'll get to that in a moment. We've got Ronnie Reno of Reno's Old Time Music with us. That series is on RFD TV, and it's on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's also replayed over the weekend as well. And Ronnie joins us live from Hendersonville, Tennessee, outside Nashville, Country Music City, USA, right here live on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Adam with you live from New York. Delighted you're with us on this Wednesday, second of three episodes we are doing this week, marking our 10th year on the air. Starting year 10, happy you are aboard. And by the way, coming up next week on our program, we've got three episodes of the show. Again, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Two of the people that we're supposed to have on our show on Monday, 48 hours ago, will be with us, Mark Dineen and Les Sadisky. They are from Crossmark Media, the folks behind Connectivity TV. It's an event coming to New York mid-December that wants to do for television what Comic-Con in San Diego does every year for entertainment and pop culture. And also joining us next Friday, that's a week from Friday, will be one of the people currently attending the Television Critics Association Summer Tour in Los Angeles. He's one of the best in the business. Rob Owen, the TV critic of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. That's coming up a week from Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, here on Tomorrow We Televise. And coming up midway through the month on August 15th, one of our guests will be an extraordinary new writer-director by the name of Moses Bruneau. He bankrolled his own dramatic television series called Money and Violence. Two seasons of it, shot it, wrote, produced, and directed it in Brooklyn. And now it is about to come out through Lionsgate on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. This is a story you do not want to miss, and it shows you where TV may be going, at least the independent side of it. Moses Bruneau from Money and Violence, joining us live August 15th. That's a Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. So we've got some great guests coming your way as we kick off the 10th year of this program all about television. Ronnie, who are some of the notable guests that you remember the most that you really enjoyed having on your show?
Oh, my goodness. There's been so many, even the newer. We always sort of split it down the middle with some of the real older traditional acts, and then, of course, a lot of the newer acts, they were new at that time. I mean, you know, my gosh, I first started having a Third Time Out on when they had just started, which, and they're a wonderful bluegrass band now, and we had Lonesome River Band when they first started, and then I'd turn around and I'd have Ralph Stanley on. I guess they're all so unique and so talented. I tell you what I did lately. I was just so blown away with this gentleman. His name is Sam Moore, and he is actually used to be Sam and Dave years ago. And I had him on the show singing bluegrass with us, and it was such a treat. Oh, my gosh, I just couldn't believe he was up in Be Natural like it just wasn't nothing for him to sing up there. So Sam was really one of my all-time favorites having on, and I was so pleased that he came on. But we've just had just about all everybody has been coming on our show and thankful for it, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Many, throughout the years, many country music-oriented shows, whether it was Hee Haw, the Johnny Cash Show back in the 70s at ABC, or I mentioned all the shows, the Showbiz, the Syndicator did, like Top Goes the Country and Dolly Parton Show, would sometimes have either country stars that later did pop, like Conway Twitty or Jeannie C. Riley or Bobby Gentry, or they would have a pop star come in and maybe do a country song their way. Did you have any of that on your series at all?
Well, I was just actually getting ready. I had Merle Haggard booked to come on the show. And, of course, Merle loves bluegrass, and he was a dear friend of mine. I have got to mention that he was actually going to do about four or five shows with me. We'd already had the date set, and then he got extremely sick, as everyone knows. But, you know, just everybody has been so they love bluegrass because it's such a energetic move music, and it's got so much tempo on it. But my goodness, I just did a. I had T. Graham Brown call me the other day and say, "Hey, Ronnie, what do you think about me singing a little bluegrass?" And I said, "I think that would be wonderful, T. I could hear you singing with that gravel voice, sort of like the Steel Drivers of today, you know." And so anyway, we're gonna get T. Graham on to sing a little bluegrass for us. I actually did some things with David Frizzell. And recorded a couple of songs with David, who his brother was Lefty, and we did Always Late with Your Kisses done bluegrass style, and that was quite unique for sure. But anyway, I think up around you guys, well, we have a little young group called the Sleepy Man Banjo Boys that we had on. I thought was wonderful. They were so young. The little Johnny, the one that was playing the banjo, he weighed, I think, 60 pounds, and the banjo weighed 70 pounds, and we had to set him on a chair in between takes because he was getting tired of holding the banjo. But just a wonderful, wonderful talent like that.
Yeah. One thing about your show is that you've never deviated from the format. Tell people how you do the show, how it works from week to week, because it's like you're a great classic example of if the shoe fits, keep wearing the shoe, year after year after year, it never goes out of style.
Oh, for sure, Simon. What we decided to do was do basically a format that was backwards. In other words, I would introduce the artist that was with me in an interview segment before they ever actually performed on the show. And we would sit there and tell them a little bit about who they were. I mean, all of them. That's the way we done it. We just sat there, and I even, had Bill Monroe on and interviewed Bill. But we basically felt like we were reaching so many people that had never come in contact with the music that we really wanted to know, let the people know who that my guest artists were. And, of course, myself and my group, we always opened the show. So we were out there first, and so they sort of understood who I was. And then after that, we would do do their performance, and then we would take a break. And I always like to do an impromptu thing, Simon. We would put all the musicians between my group and their group together for an impromptu instrumental. And we call that segment the Super Pickers segment, which, oh, my goodness, when you put folks together that can play and have never played together, you get a wonderful energy and a great performances out of them. And then we would come back and have them get back with their group and do another performance, and then I would come out on the end of the show and do the last song with them.
Incidentally, Ronnie's guest on this upcoming episode of Old Time Music, the Saturday at 7 o'clock, is a band from North Carolina that's starting to make their way into the national scene. It's called Balsam Range, and I hear they're really quite good. So they're on this Saturday night, 7 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time on RFD TV. Ronnie Rito, the host of Reno's Old Time Music, is with us live outside Nashville, Tennessee, this half hour on Tomorrow We Televised. Simon Applebaum live with you from New York. You have a question or a comment, got a few more moments with Ronnie, so ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. As I mentioned earlier, RFD TV is having a special show tonight. I believe it is on 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and they're going to be announcing a number of things, and you know what they're up to, including the fact that they're going to get on Fios TV around the country.
Yeah, I guess we can let everybody know what's going on. We're actually I know y'all have Charter a lot, if I'm not mistaken, up in your area. We're
yes,
actually getting into 7 million new HD high definition channels or distribution that another 7 million folks can watch our shows on RFD TV. And Mr. Patrick Gotch, who is the founder and owner of RFD TV, will be making that announcement tonight. But we're all so excited about this new opportunity to bring it to different folks, bring our programming, which is not only our music. We have rural programming, which is equine, western programming. It's just sort of I guess rural comes to the city is the way that they're saying it, which is wonderful. A lot of city folks are from the country to start with, but if you don't, well, we want to make you feel like you're in the country and sort of just relax it a little bit with us, Simon.
Mm-hmm. Well, look forward to the announcement. And Patrick was on our show a number of years ago. We'd love to have him back to talk about where RFD and the Sister Network Family Net is at in terms of new original shows coming this fall and beyond, Ronnie. Is there an act that we all know that you would love to have on a future show? One person that comes to mind who I think would be wonderful is Neil Young. When I hear songs like Sugar Mountain or When You Dance I Can Really Love or some of the other songs he's done over the years, both solo and with Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, that he might be an ideal guest.
I'd love to have Neil Young. He is such an acoustic artist. Any acoustic artist like Neil, I had Steve Warner on several months ago, and Steve was just so, I mean, he just came on with a guitar and a fiddle player and just blew everybody totally away. And Neil would do the same. Oh, I would love to have any folks like that that are so grounded in the music and so that are, you know, my words, I guess I'm trying to do is simplicity, that I get what they're doing. Any kind of an artist like that, I think it's real. I think people can relate to them. And like you say, Neil Young is definitely one of them. But when the artists become unplugged and set down and pick for you, then you understand why they are such a unknown artist. And, of course, Neil would be, oh what a great choice. I'd love to have Neil on. That'd be wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And finally, Ronnie, what's it like being known in Dick Clark terms as sort of the host of the most for your neck of music?
Well, I'm actually honored, I guess, that they call me the Dick Clark of bluegrass music, and that means hopefully that I've still got some youth, that I'm looking a little younger than I truly am. But actually, we started in television when I was just, my gosh, I was about 8 or 9 years old. We started with my dad. He had a TV show in Roanoke, Virginia. And, of course, we were over in Richmond, Virginia, too, at the Old Dominion Barn Dance. So we started over there, when television was just black and white. I never will forget when television actually went color. We thought, oh, my goodness, does that look looks good? So down through the years, I've stayed in television. I always thought that was a wonderful format to especially show off the music, because it – the art form of old-time country and bluegrass is watching it being done. You know, you can enjoy the music on the radio, but if you're watching them do it, it's electrifying and it's exciting. So I appreciate I forgot exactly who coined me the Dick Clark of bluegrass and old-time music, but I want to thank him.
You got it. To that unknown person out there, you got the thanks. Rito's Old Time Music, a very rare and a very special national weekly look at the world of bluegrass with some wonderful talent, some you should know more about. You can catch it on RFD TV every Saturday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time and repeated later on in the weekend and also during the week as well. For more details about the show online, here's where you go, www.rfdtv.com. That's www.rfdtv.com. And Ronnie has his own website, which is ronnierino.com. Exactly how it sounds, ronnierino.com. Again, Reno's all-time music, Saturday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern time on RFD TV. Check it out. I think you'll really, really enjoy it. Ronnie, it's a great time to have you on the program. Congratulations on 23 years of wonderful music entertainment on the tube, and hopefully many, many more to come.
Well, thank you so much, Simon. I really appreciate it. And by all means, tell everyone in New York that we said hi. Thank you.
You got it, for sure. Thank you so much, Ronnie. A pleasure. Take care.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Ronnie Rito of Rito's Old Time Music joining us live from Hendersonville, Tennessee, outside Nashville. And before we wrap things up for this Wednesday afternoon, it's time to give you our classic trivia question of the week. If you know the answer and you're first with it, you can win the book Twin Peaks FAQ by Applause Books. Here's the question we first posed on Monday. How many variety series did Sonny and or Cher do in the 1970s? How many variety series did Sonny and or Cher do or host in the 1970s? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please include your name and your mailing address. You can also use Twitter, hashtag TWBT, to get the answer. That's hashtag TWBT. That's Twitter options made available by the wonderful people at Hopscotch, the folks who invite you to create your own social soundtrack. And you can learn how at hopscotch.com. If you just tuned in and missed the question, no problem. I'll post it tomorrow morning on my Facebook page or my own Twitter hashtag at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. Because of the length of our interviews today, we didn't have a chance to get to our opus that we were promising both for Monday and today. We will do that for sure on Friday's program. And I'll have a comment about the breakthrough in Spanish language television, first time of a primetime television coverage on Telemundo and NBC Universo of the Summer Olympic Games from Rio de Janeiro. By the way, right now NBC Universo and Telemundo are running coverage of women's and men's soccer today and tomorrow. That's before the opening ceremonies, which will be carried exclusively on NBC. I believe that will be at 9 p.m. Eastern. And 6 p.m. on the West Coast. Coming Friday on Tomorrow We Tell Live, we'll have the people from StreamNow TV and TV Runway. Ron Valderrama from StreamNow TV, he is their chief executive officer. And Tarina Bell, she is the co-founder and CEO of TV Runway. Wait to hear what they are doing for smart TV sets and smart devices where you can buy merchandise as you watch the show. If you came in late on today's program or you want to catch up on episodes you missed from our first 9 years on the air, go to our homepage, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget, we're available on podcast 24/7 through iTunes.com and the iTunes podcast app on Apple TV. We're there along with other Blog Talk Radio shows. So don't forget to download us to your smartphone or tablet, take us on the go, and share it with others. And remember, you can catch our Tomorrow Televised video segments from BK Live over the last 11 months on BrickTV. Go to www.youtube.com/BrickTV. www.youtube.com/BrickTV. We thank all of you for checking our YouTube videos. Some of them had over 1,000 views, and we thank you so much for it. Remember, we love to hear from you, so email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to include your name and where you're from. I do respond within 24 hours. We want to hear what you thought about today's show and also what you think about where TV is at and where it's going. Whatever you say is much appreciated. Don't forget, you can find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That Twitter handle, once again, UBC Simon TWBT. However you communicate, we appreciate it. Why? Because what you say matters. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Annie Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, the creator of this very enterprise, Mr. Alan Levy. Tomorrow We Tell Live was brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. For Tomorrow We Tell Live, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your midweek and week ahead. We will be back on Friday at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.